to keep the jewel of liberty within the family of freedom. Following the Union's capture of New Orleans in April 1862, wealthy free black men of the city began pushing federal authorities for the full rights of citizenship. Unlike any other place in the Confederacy, a vibrant, affluent, free black community existed in the Crescent City. These men possessed a number of important civil rights, including the ability to inherit and bequeath inheritances, to sue in civil courts, to testify against white people in criminal prosecutions, and to not be testified against by slaves. However, the ability to wield the ballot had always been denied to them. This they hoped to change. Initially, these well-heeled men of color showed little interest in advocating for universal manhood suffrage. They believed that their industry and education gave them all the qualifications necessary to exercise the right of suffrage in an intelligent manner. In other words, they claimed to have a stake in society, unlike poor black men who had until recently been held in bondage. As one black newspaper in New Orleans explained, the debate over extending the franchise to black people should not confuse the newly freed people with our intelligent population. These issues would come to the fore as political leaders sought to bring Louisiana back into the Union. Indeed, Reconstruction gave the state's elite black population an opportunity to press for the full rights of citizenship. Lincoln badly wanted Louisiana to have a loyal civil government that would bring the state fully back into the Union, and for the last 6 months of 1863, he urged his military commanders to call for an election of civil office holders and to set up a constitutional convention. After substantial pushing by the president, Union General George F. Shepley, the military governor of Louisiana, called for an election to take place on December 3rd. Shepley also issued an order enfranchising white Union soldiers. Wealthy men of color in New Orleans hoped that they, too, might be included in this process. The free black community of the city sent petitions to Shepley and Union General Nathaniel P. Banks asking for access to the ballot box, just as white Union soldiers had been given. They also sent a separate petition to Shepley, which carried 10.5 pages of signatures, asking for protection from harassment and illegal arrest on the streets. Much to their chagrin, however, Shepley and Banks never responded to their requests, so the free black population of New Orleans decided to take their case directly to Washington. "If we cannot succeed with the authorities here," they declared, "we will go directly to President Lincoln." In January 1864, two Creole citizens of New Orleans, E. Arnold Bertineau and Jean-Baptiste Rodinet, drafted a lengthy petition addressed to Lincoln and Congress, urging them to enfranchise all the citizens of Louisiana of African descent born free before the rebellion, so that they could participate in the creation of the new loyal civil government in the state. Although one newspaper correspondent wrote that they had "quite dark complexions, yet European cast of features," photographic evidence seemed to indicate that they were light-skinned. Both men had French fathers and African mothers, and Bertineau's death certificate many years later described him as white. Their petition captured their belief that they were equipped to vote, unlike the masses of darker-skinned ex-slaves who were not. In language that echoed the Declaration of Independence, the petitioner stated that they are ready to sacrifice their fortunes and their lives for the country and the Constitution. They touted the fact that they were wealthy and paid taxes, that they had respectable occupations, and that they had sacrificed much for the nation during the War of 1812. These attributes, they maintained, made them fitted to enjoy the privileges and immunities belonging to the condition of citizens of the United States.